Support for SyncBook Radio comes from listeners like you. Consider helping to make independent productions like SyncBook Radio possible by becoming a donor. Your generous gift helps to keep these unique voices broadcasting and exploring. Details about how you can help can be found at thesyncbook.com/donate. Thanks.
Hello and good evening. I am William Morgan and you are listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. You can find us online at 42minutes.com and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at Sync42 and at SyncBook. This night is our 161st broadcast, and as we enter December towards those dark, dark days, perhaps it's time we seek out the light.
Even if it's only in a hypnagogic dream state. Hello, friends. Doug here. And this evening, we're meeting another charter member of the SyncBook Trust. Yes, I'm speaking of our angel investors. Thank you so much. Tonight, we're spending 42 minutes with Danny Colombo, entertainer, punk rocker, body painter, and SyncHead. He's done a number of things, or possibly, quite possibly, everything. You think I jest? His first job was feeding alligators and cleaning anaconda and cobra cages, but he's worked as an antique dealer, an illustrator, a busboy, a human statue, a rubber glove inspector, a music reviewer, a hand model, caregiver, clown, holiday mall elf, a test subject in a sleep laboratory. You get the idea.
It's like Kramer from Seinfeld. We're interviewing Kramer, people.
For the last little while, he's earned his living both as a child entertainer by day and a body painter at night. He was part of the San Francisco punk scene in the 80s and the electronic scene in the 90s. And he will be launching a new Sync Dream website very, very soon. And we will definitely link to it in our show notes as soon as we get the link. He also attended the 2014 Oli Sync Summit, and we're curious to know what he thought about that. Hey, Danny, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, gentlemen. So awesome to be on, and very surreal. Very surreal to be on.
And surreal because you've listened to a lot of the shows?
Yeah, totally. I listen to it while I'm driving. I listen to so many hours a week. Sometimes 6 hours, whatever, like, you know, Always Record, Marty Leeds, 42 minutes, it all bleeds together. I try to listen to it all because I do a lot of driving, and it gets me through the day and gets me from place to place. And it's just surreal to be on this side of things.
That's great. How did you first find the SyncBook, the SyncBook Radio, all this stuff? What was your entry into this world?
I was first time I ever heard of Synchronicity was a radio DJ on this rock station in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'll never forget just hearing that word for the first time. That was the Police with Synchronicity, and she was sounding it out, you know, and I was like, wow, what? I've never heard that word. What a trip. And and then, you know, like, then in high school, I just textbook, you know, Jung and Freud. I really got into dreams big time when I was a teenager, just keeping dream journals. And so, yeah, Freud's interpretation of dreams, I was big into that. And then it, like, in the 80s, I started to keep track of my personal synchronicities that would happen. So I just, you know, in journals and stuff, and every little kind of thing. And then I realized that, wow, that more are happening. And then I discovered, maybe like in the early 90s, I read this book called Phenomena, A Book of Wonders. I can't remember the authors, but they were writing about a lot about synchronicity, and they were sharing the work of Charles Fort and his work on synchronicity, and they talked about, yeah, that the more you note them, the more they'll happen. And of course, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you're just tuning in more and you're just, you know, and all that stuff. But so that they had very open-minded, funny view of all the possibilities and just keeping open. And I just loved that. And they were very fun. They were like, and so was Charles Fort, it sounded like, way back. And when was Charles Fort? Do you guys know?
Turn of the century.
Yeah. I would love to see like his journals and all his stuff. But, yeah, so I would make notes of all this stuff. And then around that, like starting in the 80s, I every once in a while, I would get these dream words. These words and phrases would come to me, very bizarre ones most of the time, in my dreams. And
I get those.
Yeah, right? Like,
where the word pops in your head and you're like,
right.
Why? Crenellated.
Right. I got passive-aggressive. I woke up thinking passive-aggressive, passive-aggressive, passive-aggressive. That taught me something. I learned a lot on that day.
Whoa. That's interesting. That could have been voice-to-skull. It could have been your wife using voice-to-skull technology to beam that into your head.
Right. I wake up, there's headphones on my head, and my wife standing right. over me, like Marty McFly, Back to the Future.
Totally.
Passive aggressive.
So I started to keep track of these dream words, but I didn't really start having a lot of them until, you know, I don't know, later 90s, and then more recently, just like more and more and more and more. And then I just got more into them. But anyway, so synchronicity, basically, you know, how I came to all this.
How has it changed? Yeah. Since your entry in it, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, synchromysticism is different than synchronicity, in my opinion.
Yeah,
They're of the same elk, but they're different beasts. Would you agree with that?
You mean different from the old school researchers of it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You feel like splitting hairs tonight, Will? Is that where you're going?
No, but there's one thing about like watching a movie and seeing that, and then like the synchronicity is like some, I don't know, like the personal sync is different to me than, because there's no explanation for personal sync when it's like it goes through movies and people saying words and license plates and shit like that, and you're like, okay,
right,
this is just too much. I can't even. And it also, I mean, do you use sync as like a learning tool? Because I do. Like most of the time when a book falls in your hand, it's the book you're supposed to read. So it's obviously like for study or for education.
Right. Definitely. And my probably second job was working in a library, and totally the right exact sentence would fall in my lap. You know, I mean, I had a huge sense of wonder and excitement and mystery when I would have these personal syncs and then read about what Jung was saying about, you know, about that stuff, or mainly especially these guys in the Phenomena Book of Wonders book. They talked a lot about personal syncs and all kinds, but, you know, reading about it in a book is different than the videos that are now. It's a whole different thing, and more media syncs are, you know what I mean, because we're so media saturated and all of that, so it's a different thing that way. Yeah,
the chronology that we're curious about though is going from the personal learning, like in the 90s,
yeah,
you know, skulking around in libraries and books and stuff, but then finding a community on the internet.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Marin County, California, and there's just a lot of weird stuff here. It seems very like people who drive through it, you know, going to and from San Francisco, they drive through and they think it's just this bedroom community, suburbs and whatever. But it's actually, if you spend a little time here, you start to see kind of like it pans down toward the ground into the bugs, like in Blue Velvet in the beginning. It's like that. There's a real interesting underbelly that I'm of Marin County that I'm realizing as I grow older and just kind of reflecting back, and then realizing what was all here. There's a lot of weird stuff, a lot of psychic people into psychic phenomena, and, you know, you had self-improvement cults, I guess you could call them, and we had ESPs here, we had Synanon, we had the Winifred Wright cult. We had some Jim Jones action going on here. Just really interesting, intense stuff. There's Black Panthers right here in Marin County. Just a lot of, you know, and Urantia, things like that. And I got into, like, ESP. It is, like, total New Age hotbed here, basically. Some of the most famous New Age recording artists from here, and I've run into them at the grocery store or the coffee shop, and, you know, and so it's just a lot of New Age. It's a super New Agey place is what I'm getting at, and with a dark underbelly of, like, cult kind of action.
Well, that's a thought that I wonder. Sometimes things definitely sync up, and so the people and the land. So you're saying you're kind of on a hot spot for sure.
that wasn't what I, you know, like, energetically, you mean, or something
yeah.
like that. No, I wasn't even thinking that. Supposedly the Miwoks were creeped out of a particular place near here called Bolinas, this beach community. They're creeped out of the energy there, and I kind of understand that. But, like, so yeah, I was just really into, like, just phenomena, and there's New Age bookstores around here, and everybody's into that stuff and meditation. I recently heard that David Lynch tried to get the local high school here into a transcendental meditation program in the school. Anyway, so I'm researching phenomena. Then fast forward to 9/11. Then my research into that, like, you know, I really had the big awakening, you know, in around 2006, 2007, and then not too long after that, land on Jake Cox's videos. That's the earliest I can remember.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of us.
And
did
here
that.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Very common.
Yeah.
And then, flash forward to 2014, and you get on a plane and you fly to Olympia, Washington.
Yeah, with no place to stay lined up.
No place to stay, and did you know anyone?
No.
Did you have, like maybe a online acquaintance with Alan or some of the other people? Or would you, this was your complete
he did afterwards.
Initiation. Just, you dove into the unknown.
I threw my hat into the ring, yeah. I emailed David Plate beforehand saying, hey, can I hitch a ride? Because I thought he was, like, driving there, and, you know, but he didn't get the email because he didn't check the account. But what was your question? Well,
did you have a good time? I mean, was it worth it?
It was all right.
What is that?
I mean, like, I don't know. No, I'm totally kidding. But, like, it was absolutely... It was absolutely one of the most amazing experiences. I mean, seriously. I'm still buzzing off of it. It's just incredible, absolutely incredible. And I hope.
I mean, let's talk about presentations, because I remember everybody's pretty much. So, mm-hmm. I mean, where were you? When were you, like, when was your mind blown?
Wow. It was blown so constantly there, so I really can't, you know, I couldn't tell you what my favorite was.
Damn it, you were supposed to say mine.
What? I know, I knew. And that was a trip.
I remember the horse stuff.
Yeah,
the horse stuff, right. But I remember you were there for the late nights, too, though. I mean, when we were up at 3
right,
in the
right.
morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a total trip. How the whole, weekend was just meandering from one place to another, and crowd to, you know, to one crowd to another, and situation, and it was just... So totally amazing.
Did it feel organic? Or
it did. Yeah, and there was no ego. That was one of the most amazing things. It's like, in the past, I've, you know, gotten together with groups of people, you know, who like the same music or who are into the same whatever. activism things, and it just always gets ruined by some kind of ego. There was no right answers. I think that's, you know, what I would say about it is that since Sync is so wide open, there's no right answers. And, yeah, people wouldn't say, no, you're wrong about that, or, you know. So it's just very simple like that. Yeah, and I was just really constantly struck with that. It was so respectful, like, of the whole, like, insane variety, just the infinite variety of ideas all embraced, and everyone's just, you know, and a lot of the time we didn't have to talk about it. It's just kind of like where you just have an understanding with the people around you. You don't even need to. But of course, we did talk. Like, I mean, every night I stayed up till 3 and 5 in the morning talking with people, you know, and then got up at, like, 10 in the morning with total energy again. It was really amazing.
Right. I don't think anybody slept in.
Joe Alexander slept through his alarm, you know.
Oh, that's right. He slept through his plane ride at the very beginning. I remember that because we were already at breakfast when he showed up. We were like, we thought you were gone. So what are you into now? What have you been into lately?
Well, I'm excited about the DreamWords site. Hopefully it's working now. It's up. And
what's the URL for that?
Yeah. www.dannycolombo.com. So Colombo is all O's, no U's. Colombo. dannycolombo.com.
Awesome.
And what is this?
So basically, what I started to get these dream words and phrases a lot in the hypnagogic state when I'm falling asleep, or hypnopompic when I'm waking up, and then also in straight up dreams. So I always write them down. They're always interesting and funny and weird or vulgar. And after accumulating a lot of them, like thousands of them, I was like, wow, these actually, I could use, you know, this makes the perfect title. This word makes the perfect title for this drawing that I've already done. And then I started to do that. Then I started to illustrate what the word might mean, because the word is just there in the hypnagogic state, just suspended with no context. I mean, it's not like I necessarily see the person or know in the dream who the person is, who they are, the person speaking this word or phrase. So it's just kind of suspended there. You know, what do I do with it? And so I just used it as a springboard of like, oh, let me come up with a logo for this word, or an illustration, a scene for this word or sentence. And then I did that for a while, and then I started to see more synchronicities happen with it. And it got more and more interesting, and I've just been, like, really propelled by it, like, because it's just nonstop inspiration for me. It keeps me working.
The site is really cool.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And so this definitely looks like, like, we can spend quite a bit of time here taking it in. Yeah, we'll probably steal some of your images. No.
Yeah, please do. Remix them. Do whatever.
So then, do you still get the dream words?
I do. And the more I sleep in, you know, the longer the REM cycles are, and then you get more. Like, sometimes I'll get 3 or 4 in one morning, but usually it's around 1 a week. It really depends what my sleep cycle is like.
Well, this is making me wonder if there isn't, like, a really slow narrative. Do the words talk to each other? Have you ever
Oh, that is an awesome question. You know, they actually repeat. Some will repeat. Some will actually repeat, and it's the most fascinating thing, because I'm like, wow, here's another level of it, where years later, a word will be repeated, or a variation. It'll be playing. The dream is like the subconscious, whatever. My subconscious is playing with that word, and sometimes in a funny way. And it's like, wow, I haven't even thought of that word in a long time. I mean, I wrote it down years ago or months ago. Actually years, and it's very, very strange like that. And I also categorize them. There's, you know, by, there's band names, there's album names, song titles, people names, company names, chemical names.
So this is a kernel. How much do you unpack the kernel?
You know,
you know what I mean? So, like, is this a seed that grows into something, or do you just, like...
You mean, like, as far as meaning or
yeah,
or
like how deep do you plumb these depths?
You know, sometimes it's really deep, and I'll get to that, but like, as far as part of the creative process, yeah, like, how do I unpack? Well, what I like to do, the results that I like the most in my in these drawings is when I stay in the mode of the brainstorming. Like, I went to school for graphic design way back before things really started to change into computers, and I really kind of hated computers, so I love to be in the drawing part, the free headspace of brainstorming the ideas, you know, and even when they kind of are little fails, like where, like, oh, that logo attempt, doesn't quite make it. Well, I stay in that headspace because it just works, because these things are like blurted out Tourette's-like from the subconscious,
right?
These words. So so what I do is I try to just blurt out and just start drawing without making a sketch. So I'll start in pen almost always, and I don't think about, you know, in the beginning of these drawings, I started, you know, like, oh, okay, I'll make up this clever idea. But I realized, like, it was way more interesting, and it was when it was not about me and my, you know, trying to be clever or whatever. So I just I try to draw. It's like automatic drawing, like the surrealists, you know, had this automatic drawing where you don't think about it and you just do it. So it's all free. And so I love to stay in that space and then polish things up or elaborate. But the main idea, the main thing is very much from that free headspace, the brainstorming part, the total, like, beginner's mind. And so I blurt it out. I blurt out the drawings like they blurt out the words.
Right.
These are so lovely. These
oh,
are unreal.
Wow, thank you, man.
Have you ever had an exhibit in a gallery or anything like that?
I have. But as far as the dream words, I've only had a few exhibited so far. But I'm really excited now that I have them all together. And I weeded out dozens from this collection that you see on the site. So, yeah, I've got all sorts of exciting stuff in the works as far as showing, yeah.
What about the words illuminating something coming in the future? So do they ever seem prophetic, or is it more a description of the state of your mind? Or do you think it's not even that, it's just this upwelling from the something?
I'm sure that if I looked in my journals, I would see that, you know, some were probably prophetic, because I have had those dreams where it's just like the exact specific thing happened, you know, just like in the dream the next day. And I think we've kind of all had that. And sorry, what was your question?
where are these words coming from?
Yeah.
Are they coming from you, or do you think they're coming from something bigger, way bigger than you?
I think
both. These softball questions, man.
Well, you know, both. And what makes me think that they come from you know, outside of me, with my subconscious, is when I've experienced this thing called xenoglossy. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, where it's where, let's say, foreign words in a dream. Well, someone will speak a foreign language, and, you know, they'll sleep talk in a foreign language, and it turns out to be actually a language that they are not known to speak, you know, but in their sleep they speak these words that supposedly has happened. Well, my dream words have actually turned, like, because there's all sorts of what sound like different languages, like, oh, this sounds like Spanish or African, French, all sorts of languages, and I categorize them, like, you know, like that, like the French sounding or whatever. And some will actually make I'll look them up. That's what's really interesting, is that I used to not look these up, but now, you know, with the internet, look it up, and you're like, wow, it actually means, and even archaic meanings, I've even had that, where it actually means in that context, and it's like, I couldn't have known that. I mean, probably not, but it makes sense, you know.
I had a dream when I was a little kid about a vampire named Wixen Gibbous. But it's weird.
What is his name?
Wixen Gibbous.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, we were in his house, and then he was chasing us, and we ran out, and I remembered looking at the plaque. There was a plaque, and it said, like, Wixen Gibbous, like, 1846 or something like that.
Well,
and
did you ever look it up, Will?
No, well, I never did. I never even thought about it. That's what made me think about it. When I was looking through his artwork, it, like, spawned this memory in my head, because I never did that. That was way before the internet. It was, like, when I was 10. I did name my cat Wixpin after that. Like, I did – and I read somewhere that, you know, dreams happen in – like, there was – I remember it was after it happened. There was, like, this Batman the Animated Series cartoon where Batman realizes he's in a dream because he can't read. Because dreaming is like part of the right side of the brain or whatever. But that always stuck in my mind. And I love, like, that's what, like, band names or album names are like that. They're these things that, like, tickle our freaking right brain or whatever. So, I mean, some of these are just, like, freaking prime. Like, Electric Sperm Project, come on, are you kidding me? That's, like, such the title of an album. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Have you ever had have you ever had music in, like, because I remember one time I was dreaming and there was, like, a band on, and I was like, oh, this is the greatest song in my life. And when I woke up, I was like, that's my song.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got great music in my dreams, and I wish I knew how to read and write music to really put that stuff down. Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. Like, where it actually comes from the sky, where music, like a, you know, chorus of, let's say, angels. I mean, not the cheesy. I mean, that has a cheesy connotation, but it is
right.
Like that, where it's and it's really like. And that's before I started to learn about music of the spheres and all this stuff. And I've been having music of the spheres syncs lately. You know, Ezra and all sorts of stuff related to that music
right,
of the spheres
right.
That made me think of those dreams. By the way, there is a guy in the UK who's a landscape designer named Wixen Gibbous. So that's the fun thing about Google is, you know.
Nice work.
Right.
Okay,
I don't know if he's a vampire. I don't know.
I would call it a man in black, but my little small brain. It was weird because it was like – The whole thing happened, and it said Wixen Gibbous, and then it was like a movie, because the next thing you saw was like a profile of his face, and he, like, I saw his fangs. I'm like, ah, he's a vampire. I knew it. But it was so much like dreams are what got me into sync in the beginning. Like, it was a Stephen Wilner. I saw a Stephen Wilner video, and then that night, like, all the elements of the video were in my dream in such a vivid, like, way that I couldn't freaking ignore it. You know what I mean? I was like, I woke up the next day and I was like, I've got to watch that video again. Dreams are very important to me. The stuff that you're making, though, I understand it. And that's why I asked about the gallery. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, like, you sell anything, or if there's, like, prints. Have you ever thought about prints, selling them online or anything like that?
You know, photographing all these and getting it together for the site has made me think, like, yeah, I just want to make prints and, you know, price them affordably, you know?
We were talking about dreams and these kind of intangibles. What was it like coming from an intangible internet world to the reality of the Ole Sync Summit and then meeting all these people?
Oh, man, just so cool. I mean, you know, I didn't raise my I didn't have these expectations. I don't know, maybe I just had, like, no expectations or something, but it couldn't have been more amazing. It was just so awesome. And just to see what people really look like, well, first of all, it was very surprising that, you know, I thought it was going to be a total sausage fest. There were actual, you know, sync sync chicks there, all accounted for. But you know, that blew my mind. That there's girls here, and everyone was just so great, and just to meet everybody, like, and how everyone, like. Like, let's say David Plait, he's like a lemur from the 70s. He's just awesome, tall and lanky with these bell bottoms and a dark crystal T-shirt, and he's right. Just...
Well, so, it's ironic because he's like from the dark crystal, the lemur from the 70s. Perfect.
Yeah, it was awesome. Just to see everybody, like, and... Like, I was really struck with how I was up for like 30 hours by the time I got to Olympia, and I arrived at, you know, for the book signing, like right after it was done, I guess.
So you did the whole thing then?
Yeah. I even hung out for, you know, later after most people left.
Oh, did you end up in Portland?
Yeah, I ended up in Seattle. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And that was great. I'd never been there.
Was this like finding people that speak your language? I mean, there wasn't any, you didn't have to calibrate. All of a sudden you were just instantly understood.
Oh yeah. Oh, it was beautiful like that. You know, and I arrived in the bookstore where the thing was like wrapping up or whatever. It was sparse at that moment. Everyone was going on to the next thing, but so I'm just kind of looking around at the books and I'm hearing voices in the bookstore and I'm like, whoa, there's the unmistakable voice of Ellen Abadesa Green. It's like, and just hearing the voices of people who I've read their books and here they are, is just absolutely transportive. Like I was seriously teleported or something. It's amazing. Like,
it's funny, I had that same experience the first time I met Steve Wilner, just because all his videos were narrated by him, and so he, you know, it was almost like there's a person behind their persona, which is...
Right.
I don't know if that's true for Steve, though, because even his conversation sounds like the narration. He's got such a prominent voice that I remember sitting there and I was like, holy shit, I'm getting a live Wilner video right now.
I didn't get to talk to him. He was one, I mean, I talked to a lot of the people. I tried to meet, you know, most people that I could, but didn't get to talk to him. But yeah, when I heard Alan's voice, I was just like, wow. And he came over and he's like, hey, you know, he sees me with my big backpack on, and seriously, I had been up for 30 hours and at that point, but I was feeling good, and because it was just, I was scrambling to get to, you know, to get everything ready to get on the flight and everything, and I didn't have a place to stay.
But
so
that worked out.
Yeah.
Did it work out?
Oh, it was amazing. Totally, totally. I trusted in the sink, and it all worked out. So Alan said, he introduced himself and he's like, oh yeah. And he was awesome. And then, so he went away, and then I was talking to, Swami Anantananda Giri. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, I think so.
And
yeah. Close enough.
And he's real quiet and cool. And I was talking to him a little bit, and then he said, are you one of the presenters? And I'm like, no, it's just a fan. And Alan heard that from across the room, and he comes over and he's just like, no, there is no just anything here. And it was the coolest thing. Like, he was just like, we're all in this thing. There's no divisions or hierarchy and that was just it was this warm greeting thing. And it was just like, this guy's awesome. And I told him that he seemed more, it was just in real life, he was more, on all these recordings, he seemed kind of serious. So I was seeing like his funny side and joking side way more in person. So that was a real trip, you know, we were just all hanging out casually. But anyway, it's me, Melissa, she's just totally funny and cool. And I mean, it was just amazing.
Oh, Alan's all fun and games. Instead, he starts cussing out old ladies on the subway.
Oh, wow. We have to talk about that.
He's an extremely nice guy, but he doesn't take very much shit.
Oh, man.
He's not a welcome man.
So you would definitely go to another event.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. And I never went to the cabin ones. I had only heard about, I heard about the Berkeley event right near where I live after it happened.
That's too bad. Yeah.
And I was really bummed out. And then when I heard this time this was coming up, I'm like, No matter what work I have to turn down, I totally turned down all this work. I made it happen, and it was awesome. Joe Alexander, that was a real trip because I had no idea that he would be this tall basketball player guy with tattoos. Like, just because I was a huge fan of his videos, and he was super cool. He was like one of the jocks that would pull me out of the garbage can after his friend stuffed me in there.
Right.
And
I've been there, boss.
And like Andros Jones, and you know, he's got this cool brooding thing, and he's intense, and he's awesome, and a great host. Radio 8 Ball is total genius. To experience that there was, I mean, it answered my questions. It answered my question with the exact, I mean, I didn't participate. I just, you know, did the slip of paper and the thing. It was read afterwards, but privately I consulted the pop oracle.
Right.
And it answered my question with the exact two words that I would have, you know, wanted it to.
Right.
And it went from there. That was really something to meet everybody, you know, Synchromisty,
yeah. When you were
James
saying
James with the dreadlocks, everybody.
So we're starting to wind down. The show's winding down. What are you seeing anything right now on your own SyncWeb that is worth noting?
Back to the personal.
Well, so that's so funny you bring that up, Will. I really honestly don't believe there's a division between...
Oh, there's a straight up...
No, there's not. It's all
there's
one.
There's a straight up division.
Everything's connected.
Maybe. I mean, they're joined. Don't get me wrong. Like, one thing leads to another. But, I mean, a personal sync, sometimes when you try to explain it to somebody, they don't get it because...
But what you're seeing is what's
important.
It's
from your point of view. But, well, you have to see things from multiple points of view. You have to understand, well, hey, you know, everybody's seeing a movie on the exact day that the school shooting happened. But that doesn't necessarily explain, like... The fact that the last 12 movies you've watched have all had a damn goldfish in them or some shit like that. Do you know what I mean? Where you're freaking out about goldfish, or you're freaking out about porcupines or fucking pineapples,
right,
or whatever sink node it is, right?
Yeah.
Well, sink heads know that shit. It was like, wow, you know, it's funny you say that because I've been seeing a lot of frogs lately. Like, that's what was cool about the Oli Sink Summit. You would say shit like that, and everybody would start nodding, like, yeah, yeah, I've seen frogs before. But you say that in, like, you know, a social setting, everybody's like, what are you talking about, dork? Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
So I do. I see a separation between the two. But, I mean, that's just for my own, like, I don't go around saying, I'm seeing frogs. But I'll go around and tell people, you know, if you watch a whole bunch of, like, Rob Lowe movies, you're going to see this, and this. You know?
Then the frogs will just start raining on you. Yeah. To that point where,
like,
yeah,
a Magnolia movie.
Exactly.
Right.
I do have a thing if we have, like, a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm looking at my notes here of, you know, I write these things down, the good things. Let's see. In September, I was listening to David Plate and Zenor and Mark LeClaire on Always Record. And let's see here. So I was walking around. Sometimes I burn the shows to CD, and I have them in a boombox. I was doing creative projects around my house. I was walking around with the boombox, moving it to one area, one room to the next. And I was playing, so I was playing the podcast, you know, in the boombox in one hand, and I was walking toward my fireplace. And so right as I approached the fireplace, David Plait starts describing the MGM fire and its relationship to the Poltergeist movie. And so, and other movies. And what was right in front of me, actually it was Evening Time.
It was
so
the
what
visitor,
was right in front of
the
me?
Visitor. Yeah, the visitor show. Right. Because I know that show that you're talking about. I listened to that one multiple times.
Oh, that's what it was called, The Visitor?
I think so. It's the movie The Visitor came out at the same time as the MGM fire, or the second
UK, yeah.
And then the skyline was Atlanta, and then they actually show the but go on with your story. I'm like, we're digressing here, so.
So what was right in front of me at that moment that he's mentioning the MGM fire, what's right in front of me lit by electronic candles, the digital candles that come on a timer, two small plastered lion heads that were charred in the elevator at the actual MGM fire, during that same fire that a friend of mine had given me, these creepy burned, you know, plaster lion heads in the 90s, and I had just put them in my fireplace a couple months ago. And then David goes on to mention that the ABBA lyrics involved in his MGM fire movie Sync mention fireplace. So in ABBA is singing, sitting near the fireplace, dying embers warm my face. And this is right as I'm holding a boombox with Always Record mentioning MGM fire. I'm walking to, right when I get to my fireplace, right in front of me, actual lion heads that were charred in that fire. So pretty trippy.
Right?
That was 42 minutes.
Thank you for sharing it with us. We appreciate it, Danny. Thanks
a
lot.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Doug. Awesome. Awesome.
You've been listening to Danny Colombo on 42 Minutes, a production of Sync Book Radio and thesyncbook.com. You can find more information about Danny's work shortly, and we'll leak the website in the show notes. Of course, you heard it earlier in the podcast. For more information about the Sync Book, our guest, or to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you like the podcast, please support it by becoming a donor. You'll find the donation links under each episode on the website, and consider setting up a monthly charge. Thanks so much. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a track behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on. Our little life is rounded with sleep.
Long awaited darkness falls, casting shadows on the walls. In the twilight hour I am alone, sitting near the fireplace, dying embers warm my face. In this peaceful solitude, all the outside world subdued, everything comes back to me. In the gloom, like an angel passing through my room, half awake and half in dreams, see and long for God and see. So the present runs into the past, now and then become entwined, playing games within my mind, like the embers as they die. Love was one prolonged, and it all comes back to me tonight. bright twilight images go by.